Talking sports in the morning. Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Make Canada's best-selling line of trucks even better by visiting Universal Ford Lincoln to get $1,000 toward Ford custom accessories at the Built Ford Tough event. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
8:03. Slow little CanCon from DJ Defo on the Wheels of Steel.
What are you talking about?
Well, Canadian content. You hear Sloan on the radio all the time. Gotta play Canadian music.
Slang.
DeForest is our DJ this
hippie
morning.
Music.
Wheels of Steel are the turntables. It's easy.
There's
is this hippie music, Tim?
Nobody's.
What do you mean hippie music?
Well, it's good that Boomer's sick and texting me about fishing, so he must feel terrible today.
I put a photo up on Twitter of Boomer today, because we all need a rest.
Oh, he's napping.
I didn't know he had so much ink on his gut.
He's a bad boy.
He's covered in tattoos here. At Fan960 Pinder, if you want to see Boomer catching up on his Zeds. I'm sure Jay could retweet that from the Sportsnet account. That'd be Boomer would love it. It was sleep-in day.
He should be sleeping. Him and Humphreys.
Boy, that was not a good move.
He can... Yeah.
Like, I like the idea of Kirsch comes in and says, well, why don't you just take the day off? We'll get Pat in an hour early. We've got a game tonight on picking up at 5, and we'll slide Josh into the mornings. Like, oh, great. That sounds perfect. You know, Boomer gets some rest.
Nice
he gets
plan.
Better.
Yeah.
And then by the time
you
we
guys
go to,
gotta go away tomorrow.
Yeah, by the time we go to Fairmont, he's not infecting the entire staff
well,
at the resort.
Yesterday he texted me, saying, you want to come?
Yeah, you should
and
come.
And I'm like, you're sick as a dog.
Well, not if you sleep.
You think I want to hang out with you?
Well, come hang out with me. We'll go golf.
I'm still considering it.
Really?
Because me in the Fairmont, in the spa, in my Speedo, deadly.
You got the...
deadly.
Really? You rocked the banana hammock in the
do
spa.
Some hot wax.
Awesome. I pity the small lady that has to deal with that forest of filth. You ever waxed anything?
Oh, I was going to make fun of you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is the Calgary Morning Show, right? Sports, right?
We're in Calgary. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, home of the Flames.
Why are you talking about basketball?
I've talked about basketball all day. We're not talking about basketball.
I heard you.
Leave it alone. We'll get there at 8:40.
Yeah, great.
Not going there. Now, we talked about the wisdom of Warner. You've used this fine station, the employment of Rogers, an upstanding corporate citizen in this country, as a mere platform to pump your brand, the wisdom of Warner. You're now branching out into public speaking
events. I've written a book. It'll be published here in the next 5 to 10 decades. I'm not sure. It's quite long, so
it's a posthumous.
And I've got to draw all the pictures to go with it. So, I mean, that's not easy.
Drawing pictures.
Yeah, so
you're speaking.
You texted me yesterday about, hey, are you talking to some more guys coming? I'm like, how do you know these things? And mind your own business.
Well, here's the thing. It's Calgary. We all know 1,000 people that work in oil and gas, right?
Well, I'd say more than.
Well, there you are. So point made. And then second of all, we had people on the text line chiming in.
Really?
So Brett Warner's speaking tomorrow at some event.
Yeah.
What the heck are you doing
That's
today?
What I do.
What are you doing? Wisdom of Warner where?
Well, I don't know that everyone could come, so it's downtown at a hotel.
Some swanky five-star.
Yeah. For some, just a smallish company that asked to stop by, say a few words about Saskatchewan, because they're very busy in Saskatchewan. So me being a Saskatchewanian, is that how you say it, DeForest?
Don't know why he'd be an expert on that. You're from there. Doesn't know. No, you're never
one to
be shy about a name drop or to spread the word about people you know or maybe give shout outs to people for free garage repairs.
Yeah.
You're not going to tell us
Ultimate Garage, Terry Tout. Give him a shout. I spent the weekend in the garage. It was awesome.
Does your new truck fit
in the
garage?
I was actually thinking about it's maybe time to actually put like a couch and chair in there. It's that nice.
Is it that nice or is it just that far away from the kids and the wife?
Both. Both. Because I was thinking a projector, I could just do it on
right
the wall.
Right on the garage door.
Yes.
Yeah. The man cave.
Oh,
get a beer fridge in there.
Terry Tout, ultimate crush.
Dartboard. So who is this company you're speaking
to today?
I'm not
crazy about darts either.
Why?
My idiot buddy Z, he's decided he's going to put a dartboard in his house.
Okay.
And he's got two kids that are like three.
Oh, that's a horrible idea.
Yes. My cousin took a dart in the head at the age of about four.
What?
Yes. Not good.
Is he okay?
She struggles in life, but she's okay. Not due to the dart.
Anything to do with the dart she took in the melon?
It's not the dart's fault, but...
Who threw the dart?
I think it was another cousin.
Was it
it's
you?
It's a small town. We're all related.
It's not the dart's fault.
So, darts.
Darts and kids don't mix.
No, dangerous. No,
those even
dangerous.
Just those little cars that you race
I
down the track.
I can't imagine my three dummies ramming around with a dart. Are you kidding me?
No, the dartboard has to be high enough that the darts cannot be
stabbing each
reached.
Other. No good.
How did this happen with your cousin? Paint us a picture here.
Well, it's a small town. We had the...
You're in the barn.
The senior center rented for probably a 60th, maybe a 50th anniversary type of deal.
And how old were you and
the kids?
And the cousins
run around like maniacs.
Yeah.
Parents are all bombed up.
Yeah.
They're not paying attention. And the darts come out. And kids being dumb kids. Well, you go stand there.
I'll throw it over your head.
Dunk.
Where'd it hit her?
In the brain.
In the brain.
Just nailed her.
Did it stick in? Did it fall out?
It stuck. Oh. Yes, that was the best part. It was in the head.
And she's running around with a dart in her head.
It's awesome.
Now, this is the classic thing, because when you get something stuck in you, you look at it, and then it's like, do I pull it out? Do I grab
all
it?
All the other kids are, everyone that sees, screaming right out of the movie.
And Aunt Debbie's all hammered, and she hears it first, like, oh, no. What's happened to Allison? Somebody get that dart out of her brain.
Oh, so good. Yeah.
And she's...
Maybe I'll tell that story because it happens in Saskatchewan.
She is or isn't on government support now. She's doing okay. Could be doing better.
She's a battler.
She's a fighter.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you are. Dart in the head.
You take one in the head when you're five. See how you do.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd be hanging up below a dartboard at somebody's 60th birthday party in Saskatchewan. That might have saved me a few brain cells. So you're speaking at this event today. What are you going to talk about?
I don't even know that it's an event. It's just a...
Well, then what are you doing?
I don't really
know. Are they gathering like high-end people or like
rehab
people?
Much like when I come in here and have no clue what I'm going to talk about.
Yes.
That is what I'm doing at lunch today.
But at least you have an area of expertise. You played for the Flames, the Panthers, the Sabres.
Well, that is a small concern for me.
Yeah.
But I've always been of the opinion that I can wing it. I can make it up. If they don't like it, they don't like it. I'm leaving.
See, I don't know that...
I get a sandwich, I get a coffee, I'm out of there.
Well, you're going to have to speak, too. You can't tell people the story about the wrestling mask taking your pants off on a charter. You're gonna have to have a story about something that most people can relate to.
Maybe I should call Chris Carter and get some...
your Boca Raton buddy.
Yeah.
That we had on at 7.
Yeah.
Would you tell some of his stories?
Obviously, we didn't mesh. So,
they seem.
I don't think it's old. I think it's very vibrant.
It's after you call, it's going to be boring. He lives
that
there.
Is old. You're not that old. What are you doing hanging out there?
I don't think it's old. I live here.
It's just like, hey, Chris, welcome to the program. You're a Hall of Famer, one of the best players ever in the history of the sport. Tell us a bit about the Vikings. Rhett steps in. What are you doing living in Boca Raton with the Grays?
It's true.
I don't think it's old. It's quite vibrant. I can always find a chess game at noon. I walk the mall at 6 a.m.
All right, let's go. Sports.
Sports.
Dallas, Anaheim. Can they win?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, I don't know.
But
wasn't it less than a week ago that we were like, oof, Anaheim, they're good.
The thing with Anaheim this year is they've routinely been outshot and outchanced, but have gotten by on great goaltending, be it Hiller, Anderson, Fast, or even late in the season, John Gibson. And they just don't miss in the sense that you've got Perry and Getzlaff that are just lethal.
Solani.
They're superstars. Solani, Koivu the Elder. And then their bottom six forwards, these are gritty guys that are tough to play against. They lose Robidoux. That's not good
news.
Not
that I'm not a big Tim Jackman fan.
But well, that's not the guy I'm talking about. I'm talking about
who's this bottom six?
Well, like a guy so like Bonino has been really good for them.
Well, and maybe you're right. I don't give them enough credit.
Let's just pull up their roster here because I think it's important to... The thing is at this point of the season, every team has a top line. You don't make the playoffs without one line that can be very good and win a game for you. But in the postseason, you need to have... Like, you could talk about it in 04. You need your Marcus Nilssons, your Ville Niemanen.
They win you the cup.
Totally. So that's where I do believe in Anaheim in some senses because, frankly, they got a lot of support all the way through their lineup.
Is your internet not working?
I got it here. So Nick Bonino, 22 goals, 49 points. Matthew Perreault, you'd never heard of him until
this
year.
You're right.
43 points.
I may not have heard of him until yesterday.
Cogliano, depth guy. Dustin Penner. 30 points. Palmieri.
Well, Winnick. Penner's not there.
Maroon is a big boy.
Dustin Penner doesn't play for Anaheim anymore.
Correct. Sorry. That's my fault. They traded him to Washington at the deadline.
To lead them to the playoffs.
Just caught reading the stats. Oops. Patrick Maroon, 6'3", 230. There's a guy found money.
Never heard of him.
Physical. He's, I don't know. I like their depth. But here's the thing. Dallas, why not? Could Kari Lehtinen be better than whoever Anaheim picks in net?
Yep.
Absolutely. Do you like Ben and Seguin on home ice away from the matchups? Absolutely.
Well, they can match up against anyone, can't they? Ben and Seguin, there's good a...
Point being is they can play against your checking line,
yeah.
But when you can it's get better. Them out against a fourth line or that line that isn't defensively strong, you can do that more easily on home ice than you can in the Honda Center. Now, the other thing, they decided to sit Hiller. In game one, they said, Anderson's our guy. It's fine. He hasn't been horrible in the series. But you'd be very comfortable with letting it over in the goaltending ledger.
Yep.
And Robidoux is out now. This was the guy that was in Dallas, traded to Anaheim at the deadline, broken leg for the second time.
He's the guy that takes up 20 minutes or 18, 20 minutes a night of pretty solid play.
Yeah. Curious to see how this one plays out.
Whatever happened to Sheldon Soure?
I think he's still on that roster.
Is he hurt? What?
He missed time early in the year. I don't know. To be frank, I don't even know if he suited up because he's still on the payroll, I believe.
Well, for sure, because he signed like a 3 or 4 year deal for $3.5 million.
He's 37 years old. He's been out, I believe, the whole season. He has not played a single game. And I, to be honest, I can't speak to the injury, but I'm sure someone on the text line will.
I just was wondering because I was like, yeah, didn't he sign there? And for a long time and a lot of money, and it was like,
Well, they got Beauchemin as well. Cam Fowler's been very good for them, a guy that they somehow got at like 10 or 11, 12 in the draft there. Dylan McElrath, taken by the Rangers ahead of him, still hasn't
done. What other games tonight? Columbus?
Columbus at Philly, or Pittsburgh, excuse me, that one in C-Bus where it was an absolute zoo 2 nights ago, and somehow the Blue Jackets allowed 3 goals in 2:13.
Dummies.
Penguins win 4-3. The 3-1 lead is the kiss of death in this series.
Sure seems like
3 games, 3 times the team's been up 3-1.
They lose.
All 3 times they've lost. I don't know how you approach that or if it's just crazy, but it's
I can't decide
weird.
If Columbus can get their head around what happened and show up and play another good game or if they're going to be rattled by giving one away at home.
I think they're so young and fired up. This is all found money for them. They've never won on home ice. In franchise history in the playoffs. They had their first ever postseason win, Game 2 in Pittsburgh. I don't know why they wouldn't be able to win Game 4 at home ice with that same crowd fired up.
Yeah,
they seemed to idle a bit after they got that 3-1 lead, which is natural, I suppose, but they've learned their lesson. They're young guys. Hey, guys, remember Game 3?
Yeah. And block a shot.
Well, that's what
I've
I mean.
I've said that a million times.
Absolutely, but that's what I mean by letting up. Their commitment to dominating... Gone. They
I guess
got a 2-goal lead.
The other side of the story is, did Pittsburgh wake up? Are they now going, we dodged one there. We better.
Well, here's the thing. Even if Columbus wins tonight, it's a best of three in Pittsburgh. 2 of the games are there. They've got to be comfortable coming out of Columbus, even if they don't win tonight. But if they do, it's over.
I don't know. I don't think they are comfortable because I think that they start going, really? We're going to have to go 6 games against Columbus? How are we not supposed to be better than this?
Well, remember,
I know Columbus is not a pushover.
The Islanders gave them a scare last year, too.
Exactly, and that's what I'm...
And I don't know how different Columbus is than the Islanders. Frankly, I like their goaltending better. I'll take Bobrovsky ahead of Nabokov.
Yeah. And I don't know that, I mean, Pittsburgh won the series in overtime in Game 6, but I really thought the Islanders deserved to win Game 6, and if they had, would have won Game 7. Anyway, I mean,
Marc-Andre
speculate
Fleury,
all you want.
7 consecutive postseason starts, he's allowed 3 or more goals. He has not allowed 2-1 or 0 since a shutout on night 1 of the NHL playoffs last year against the Islanders. From that point on,
that would go a long way to
more than a win in Columbus. Marc-Andre Fleury playing well,
yes,
would put that fan base and that locker room, I think, at ease. Yeah. We'll break. We'll come back with some insights on the Flyers and Rangers, as well as the Sharks and Kings, as well as a look at all the action around the NHL. It's the East-West Hot Stove, Morganti and DeHatchett coming up next on Boomer in the Morning. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Talking hockey right now. Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Make Canada's best-selling line of trucks even better by visiting Universal Ford Lincoln to get $1,000 toward Ford custom accessories at the Built Ford Tough event. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
You get so high, there's nowhere left to go but down.
8:24 on your Wednesday morning. Boomer under the weather. He's still in bed. But
no, he's not.
You think he's up?
I know he's up.
Well, he's up, but he's not out of bed. No way that guy leaves the bed.
I don't know if he leaves ever, he other than to come here.
Sounding like B. Arthur yesterday, so the boss said, why don't you take a day off? But never taking a day off, we have the East-West Hot Stove, Al Morganti from Philadelphia, Eric DeHatchick from Calgary. We will start eastward. Good morning, Al. What did you make of last night's New York-Philly game?
That wasn't good news for the Flyers. The Rangers really played well. They've been impressive. Even though you might look at the stat sheet and see more shots by the Flyers, the Rangers blocked a ton of shots. They really looked a very solid playoff team. And the Flyers are down to an absolute must-win game. No two ways around it. They're not going to go down 3-1 and come back against Lundqvist. So they have an absolute must-win game with their captain sort of under fire for underperforming in this series. And their goaltending, of course, now Mason finally steps into the spotlight.
Yeah, I got stuck with a bunch of Flyers in my playoff pool and watched the game last night. Two things I noticed. One, they were in the penalty box a ton early on. That's been the story all series. And two, if Giroux's a superstar, it's about time he puts a team on his back, isn't it?
Well, that was I do a morning show here in Philly, and that was the question this morning. Is Giroux the biggest, most overrated athlete in Philadelphia? It doesn't take long in Philly.
to go from
top to bottom. And he won the poll. 51% said no, he wasn't. he won by 2%. So, no, he's got some pressure on him. Although, he really hasn't played badly, but he hasn't carried the team. And you know, I tried to make the point, Crosby struggling with Pittsburgh, Malkin struggled previously, Taves and Kane have started slow in Chicago at times, but they weren't having any of it. It's like, you know, you're our guy, you're supposed to score goals, we don't care how, so you better show up. And I will say, and he did it quietly, he said, we will win Friday and we'll win the series.
Really?
All right, well, now you got to show us. Yeah, you have to kind of look for it. I mean, he speaks so softly, and you know, the words, it didn't sound that dramatic when he said it, but then you write it down and go, he just said they were going to win. So he's put himself out there.
Eric, what do you make of that matchup out east before we hone in on California?
Yeah, well, one of the things that struck me was that there's still a little hint of the John Tortorella-coached New York Rangers in the Rangers. So, you know, like, I think Vigneault has sort of infused new life into them, but they still block shots the way they did in the Tortorella age. And Vigneault never taught that in Vancouver. So that's just a residual leftover of the way they played. So I think that that's one of the things that we sometimes overlook in the business. How, you know, like, you know, everyone wants to pile on John Tortorella for all of the, you know, the bad things that he's done as a coach, but but he did believe in a defensive system that is serving them well right now. I mean, what I saw that game last night, and I was going back and forth, so I didn't see it all, was that Giroux and Thiemannin couldn't get the puck through, right? I mean, they had those opportunities on the power play, and the Rangers just have this willingness and ability to block shots. Some teams try to block shots and just aren't very good at it. The Rangers are still good at it. And I'm not sure how much they worked on shot blocking this year. I don't think very much, because that's not part of Vigneault's coaching manual very much. But I just think that you know, the guys that have been there for a long period of time, it's in their DNA right now, and I think it came through. I thought it made a big difference last night.
Al, back to you.
A huge difference, yeah.
Does Steve Mason have to steal a game or two for Philly to get through this series now, Al?
I think so. He's got, you know, it's curious. He didn't win himself any fans either, because I believe he used the word deferred to Emery. In other words, look, all you want as a fan is, if your guy can't play, you want it to seem like he's chomping at the bit to play. And that didn't come across. And it was like, you know, this isn't Columbus. This is the playoffs. This is Philadelphia. This is the Rangers. They should have to hold you back with a rope to keep you out of the lineup. And it did not come across that way. So no matter what good Mason has done in the past year or whatever here in Philadelphia, Friday night is his first game in Philadelphia. It won't matter a whit. If he comes out there and doesn't play well, nothing that happened before will matter to these fans, because he was supposed to be the guy, and he finally got himself healthy. It looked like he sort of wrote himself out of the story the first couple of games. So he is under a tremendous glare when he hits the ice, and he better be good, and he better be good real fast.
Has the hatred started in that series? Living out here, we're flipping channels back and forth, get a couple minutes of this game, that game. I feel like, from afar anyway, it's not as heated as I expected it.
No, you're absolutely right, and it's very annoying. The Rangers are too... It's a good thing Carcillo showed up, because Lundqvist is too nice a guy. I mean, your girlfriend likes him. Your wife wants to leave you for him. They've got all these nice guys there. They don't have the villain that usually you can play off. But thank God last night Carcillo, who probably had a right to slug a referee for the awful call they made on him, but then he comes out of the box, and it was the most precious moment so far. He scores a goal, goes against the glass behind the goal, and right on camera, this Philadelphia fan with the Giroux jersey with the two middle fingers up right in his face, and Carcillo squarely facing him. They lighted some dynamite in this series, because there really hasn't been that much.
Eric, let's switch the scene to California. You spent a ton of time this year watching the Sharks, the Ducks, and the Kings, and it just so happens that L.A. and San Jose meet in the first round. What have you made of the series thus far? Now a 3-0 stranglehold for the Sharks.
Well, obviously last night's game was a lot different than the first two. I mean, the Sharks just clobbered the Kings in the first two games up in San Jose. I don't think anybody saw that coming, especially that Jonathan Quick would struggle the way he did. The game three was more of what you expected. I mean, it was hard fought. It was a game that was a flip of the coin. It could have gone either way. I actually thought the Kings outplayed them, and they did something really uncharacteristic, because the one thing that LA has been very good at the last 2 years in the playoffs is locking down a game where they had the lead. And they had the lead in last night's game. They were up 3-2, and the Kings of 2012, the Kings of 2013, that would have been it. It would have finished 3-2. The series would be 2-1, and we'd be thinking about doubts starting to creep into the San Jose psyche. And even when the game got to overtime, I mean, if you watched it, I mean, the Kings, they pushed and they pushed and they pushed. They had all the chances. The play went the other way. Marleau floats a backhander towards the net, not really expecting very much of anything. It hits Slavovoynov's stick, changes directions, and knuckleballs over Quick's glove. And suddenly it's 3-0, and teams just don't come back from 3-0. So, you know, sometimes there's an element of luck in the game. That was always one of the things that Bob Johnson used to preach when he coached here in the 1980s. And I think that in a game that could have gone either way, San Jose got that break. And maybe you can argue that they didn't get that break last year. They had some poor luck with penalty calls, and maybe the karma is evening out, because based on, you know, last night's game, it could easily be 2-1 and we could be talking about a series. And now, I think there's a decent chance it could be over in four, but I can't see LA winning a game up in San Jose. So even if they manage an escape and to make it look better by winning game four, I don't think that there's any way, based on the way they're playing right now, that they can win four straight against a team from San Jose that looks very good right now.
How important is it for them to end it quickly? Because these two teams are hounding each other. And I got to think that every game played, even though I agree with you, San Jose is going to win the series.
Yep.
Every game played is taking something out of you.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, but San Jose swept in the first round last year. I mean, people forget they took Vancouver out in four straight, and I think that it maybe helped them a little bit in the second round against the Kings. But I think that they were a little bit stale too, you know, because of the long layoff. So, but you know, your point is well taken. I mean, if they can get through this without any injuries, and it appears, knock on wood, that that's the case, and it also looks as if Dallas could give Anaheim a series. I mean, I'm very interested to see how that tilts tonight, because if Dallas can somehow win and force it to be 2-2, then that series has the feeling of a seven-game series. So I think if it gets to be San Jose and Anaheim, it's a pick'em series anyway. If one team can finish in four and the other one is stretched to seven, you're right. Suddenly, you know, we could be talking about the Sharks as the favorites going into the division final, and the team that likely will emerge from there.
Al, back to your native state. The Penguins are on the road tonight. They're in Columbus. They somehow dodged a bullet. That 3-1 lead, the kiss of death in that series between the Blue Jackets and the Penguins. What do you make of the Penguins and Marc-Andre Fleury's very meh goaltending?
I thought Pittsburgh would get past this more easily than they have, but Marc-Andre Fleury has become, it's sort of like you're waiting to watch him catch on fire. Burn up. Not get hot on fire, but just disintegrate. And that's what I thought was going to happen. I guess you give him marks for not going that way, because early in the game it looked like he could. You wonder about Crosby and Malkin being able to carry him. They're under the coach, too. I mean, just the sense I get from the fan base, they're anticipating disaster. It's this weird situation now in Pittsburgh where it's everything or complete disaster. And the coach can't make the right move in their mind. The goaltender's been just terrible, letting the other team get a lead on them. Bad goals going in. I don't like the Penguins now at this point, and I like them going in. It's just, I guess with Crosby and Malkin, you always say, okay, we've got the game break, we can go on. But they certainly don't have the look of a team to me now that can win the Stanley Cup. To me, it looks like whatever happens in this series, if they get by, they're the next victim, whoever they play. They're not going to beat them.
They kind of seem like they're plodding along. They're supposed to have those game breakers, but those guys aren't really taking over the games. And the questions in net are just, everyone's, like you said, waiting for the meltdown.
Waiting,
and
they're making it. The turnovers they make, and I guess they can rely on, we've got so much talent, we're going to come back. But Letang's had some horrendous turnovers. Crosby himself, now Crosby has the puck a lot, so it may happen. But there's been some terrible situations there. And Columbus, you know, give them full marks for the quick starts, being able to come back when they had to. But I wonder at times a team like that, and even L.A., when you doubt that you can win it all, if you have the wherewithal to push through a series thinking, you know what, even if we get through this, we're not going to make it all the way. Sometimes I think that works against the team that's won it. When they don't think that they can have that prize at the end, they can't push through a series.
Is it... And even if they get through this series, like you said, I don't think they win the next series. Is it? Do they need to take a long, hard look? I mean, not dismantle.
Yeah, they need to, let's put it real quick, they need to fire the coach, for one thing. Because, it just happens over and over. They have no answer, usually. When they come back, they've got the individual talents to come back. I was surprised he came back this year. I mean, you watch it up close, you see what happens, you see when they fall apart, you see their inability to take a punch from time to time. Again, in this series, yes, they have, but part of that's the Columbus situation, getting in where they are, kind of the rookie team. No, I have not been impressed at all, and there's no way he comes back, because that fan base, whatever they're thinking in the front office, which I think they're questioning it anyway, they won't have any of it. He will be fired quicker than LaViolette next year if he comes back and they didn't win the cup this year. He'll go in two games.
Eric, you get the final word here as we're short on time. You can either go Chicago-St. Louis tonight from the United Center, or a look maybe at Colorado-Minnesota, where all of a sudden that Avs blue line is looking a little thinner.
Yeah, well, I think both are going to be really interesting games, and both series are up for grabs. You know, based on the fact that those two, you know, the home teams took 2-0 leads, you thought, okay, St. Louis and Colorado well in control. You know, there's a part of me that likes the momentum, how the momentum has shifted to Chicago, even playing without Brent Seabrook. I think they put some doubts back in St. Louis's mind by shutting them out. I mean, St. Louis could not score a goal down the stretch. They, by hook or by crook, they managed to win those two games in Chicago, at home, because of the, you know, the late rallies. That's a hard recipe to follow night after night after night. So I know Hitchcock is going to challenge them, and I think it'll be interesting to see what the response is, because this to me is the series. If Chicago even set up, I think they come back and win.
And hey, they're the champs until someone makes them not the champs, in the sense that you got to beat them to be the best. Eric, thanks for your time today. Al, keep your wife away from Henrik Lundqvist, okay?
All right. I don't think there's any threat.
All right. That is your East-West Hot Stove. Thanks again to Al Morganti in Philly and Eric DeHatchik, taking a close look at things in the Western Conference here in Calgary. He knows those California teams inside and out. When we return, we will, maybe get in a bit of a fight about what's relevant and what's not on the Canadian sporting scene. Warner and I dropped the gloves. Someone call an ambulance for me now. It will save on timing. That's ahead. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Talking sports in the morning. Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Make Canada's best-selling line of trucks even better by visiting Universal Ford Lincoln to get $1,000 toward Ford custom accessories at the Built Ford Tough event. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Need a coffee.
What's that?
I need a coffee.
You need a coffee? There's a coffee machine in the cafeteria.
I already had two.
You already had two.
You know, when those things first came out, those pod, whatever.
Yeah. Everyone loved them for about 10 minutes.
Yeah. I used to, it was a, every time I walked by, Now I think it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Well, you just think about it. You're like, how old's the pod?
Wow.
Like, that's not a bean that's just been grounded 20 seconds ago. That pod might have been in a factory 3 years ago. I may not, I don't know, but that's what you start thinking, right?
It just doesn't taste as good.
There's something about going through a drive-thru
where
you've earned your coffee.
I'm very high-end.
You come in with your fancy mermaid brand this morning.
I was up early. Stupid kid crying at 5 in the morning.
Shh!
Daddy's trying to sleep.
I was saying this off-air. If there's one thing that I've learned in this job, it has nothing to do with sports, nothing to do with broadcasting, nothing about professionalism, work ethic. Just postpone marriage and kids as long as you can before that misery sets in.
Now, here's the catch.
Because you guys just whine and moan about your kids and getting sick and your wife and never being able to get weekends off. And, you know, it
you know what,
encompasses
if you only
your
have
entire
one,
life.
If you only have one kid, it's a breeze.
Oh, really?
Oh, easy.
Jay? You only have one kid, it's a breeze.
About a couple months.
He's doing all right.
I'm telling you. You think when you have a first kid, it's like, ooh, this, whoa.
And then you multiply by two or three. And
then when you
yikes.
Have two and three and you think back to one, you're like, oh, that was...
That was a cakewalk.
Ooh.
Because one can be great, but when you got three, one of them might not be great.
Or all of them could be bad.
When one starts crying, the other here, it starts crying. So at 5 a.m., crying.
I love the fighting at night, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
See, I was the eldest, so I always won the fights until about university. And Bob was...
Packed it on.
He worked out while I drank beer.
Decided that he's had enough of you?
Yeah, so we decided to become friends at that point.
So it was interesting me to hear you talk about how exciting the basketball game was last night.
Well, it's been probably, I think, 08... since the Raptors were in the playoffs. They've been pretty irrelevant. They've been a doormat. They've been embarrassing. They've been pretty much a mockery of an NBA team.
So they played last night?
Game two against the Brooklyn Nets.
In the playoffs.
At the ACC with tens of thousands of fans in Maple Leaf Square surrounding the arena.
What time?
Drake was there, the big rapper from Toronto.
This Drake guy, his name keeps coming up. I have no idea who this person is.
He's their international ambassador.
I could care
giving high fives to the players after the free throws. He's like part of the team. There's well, like
then he should have played ball.
There's like the Raptor, who's their mascot, but Drake's like their human mascot, their ambassador. And he's even Rob Ford, boy, Rob Ford, the crack smoking mayor.
If Ford can get behind it, I can get behind
it. Well, there you are. See?
So what time was this at?
This was last night, 6:30. At the ACC. Capacity crowd.
6:30. I'm just doing the math in my head. Boston, Detroit.
Yep. Philly.
Philly, New York.
Just started at the same time. And then also you had Montreal, Tampa.
How do we decide that we should flip to... Oops.
Well, here's what you do. Here's what you do. Because,
no, you don't.
No, hang on.
The answer is you don't.
Hang on.
The correct answer is you
I don't
do
have
not
a wife.
Ever, never...
I don't have a mortgage. So what I do is I go to my local brewery / sports bar.
You're not really watching. See, I sit down,
game.
I take notes. I've got my notepad
here
on every game.
You take notes like I play in
You're
the
just
NHL.
Just a casual fan.
Not at all, sir. So I caught
casual
bits
fan.
And pieces of the Raptors game. I cannot say I watched a sequence, but every time I looked over my left shoulder, there was the score. There was Drake high-fiving DeMar DeRosa, or whatever you called him the other day.
Mark DeRosa.
No, that's the old third baseman for the Jays. That's not the same at all. Pitched for Duke, Mark DeRosa. Enough. I don't know if he's a quarterback at Duke. Multi-athlete guy.
DeRozan?
DeRosa, not the mistress.
So are we talking about the basketball or the...
No, sorry, you got on a tangent there. So anyway, my question to our listenership here, because you and Boomer, there's no going to basketball, but you and Boomer are also both Western Canadian Prairie Boys. This is not basketball.
Okay, you get
hotbed.
How many people?
But like
listening?
Vancouver, they had an NBA franchise in Toronto.
Yeah, that went well. They're exactly
because the owner was a jerk.
Oh,
right?
Please.
That's like saying Winnipeg can't support hockey because the team moved. It's ridiculous. It was a crappy owner, just like it was with the Jets. The guy said, "Oh, we're going to stay here forever." He sang the Canadian national anthem. They were gone in 2 years. It wasn't like they weren't selling tickets.
He's no dummy. They couldn't make money up here.
That's not true. He just wanted it in Memphis. So here's the question, 960-960. Did the Raptors break into your sports universe yesterday, or was it too ram-jammed with hockey? Did maybe you have an eye on R.A. Dickey if you're a Jays guy? How much can you keep track of? How many balls can you juggle? And did the Raptors somehow find a way, even for just an update or a flip over to commercial, did it register?
This is, for me, I was shocked it was on TV.
It was on TSN. They had the hockey game on TSN,
too. I'm not
allowed
to say that on the station.
I'm just saying they had it on the main
network. I know.
That's and they put hockey on the backup network.
I flipped to watch hockey, and I'm like, what is this junk that is appearing on my television screen?
Now, I'll tell you this. I'm not a huge basketball guy. I didn't play growing up. I will pay attention somewhat. I have some friends that want to talk about it, so fair enough. But this is the kind of team that Rhett Warner would get behind. They are blue collar.
Oh,
they work
hard. How can you be blue collar?
You play defense, you take fouls, you share the ball, and you're not prima donnas, and you don't flop all over the court.
I will plead ignorance to this because I have no. I played one game of basketball in my life.
How'd that go for you?
I was pretty good.
Well, you've got a long body.
Long
I think you could rebound.
And
look like a small forward, power forward. Basketball. So here from the text line, Red is so right. Screw basketball. Basketball sucks, and you should never watch basketball over hockey. Hey, I wasn't watching over hockey. I looked over my left shoulder to get the score updates. Screw basketball. Who the heck are the Raptors? Watch the entire game, but I'm from the East, so not like a lot of the locals he was watching. Who are the Raptors? Didn't register. Raptors are life. Basketball was developed in Canada, too. Don't forget. James Naismith, the Peach Basket.
Great.
Great. I'd rather watch synchronized swimming than the Raptors. Go Warner. I don't know that synchronized swimming is going to bump the Raptors off.
I feel
off
very comfortable in this argument because I've got a feeling that I've got the best.
I'm not saying we have to talk about it. I'm saying, what do you think as listeners? And it's pretty one-sided here. Yes, I watched the B-ball go Raptors. Basketball is the bleep. Can't say that word. Nobody outside of Toronto really cares. Hardcore fans might watch the finals, boo to basketball.
See, and this is where I fall in. Once the Stanley Cup playoffs are over, it becomes very quiet in the sports world.
Mm-hmm.
And I will watch a finals game.
If it's on and the playoffs are done, sure. Or maybe you've got
It's not nice out, there's rain, I've made a nice soup.
Maybe there's 2 days off in the finals for the hockey.
I've made a nice soup. My kids are actually not screaming at me. I'll I will flip. I will leave it on that station to watch that game. But never in my life have I sat down and said, ooh, big I got to watch this. Difference, though, NCAA basketball.
That's right.
The tournament.
Yeah.
I will watch.
You said it was the biggest thing when you were in Buffalo. You fill out the brackets, all the guys
went
together.
I went to a pub to watch once. Wow. A basketball game.
Did you go to a pub and the game was on, or did you go to watch a game at the pub?
It's very busy. Syracuse was playing. So.
Syracuse, the Orange.
They won.
Well, what a memorable night it was.
It was Buffalo Wild Wings, pegged out.
In Buffalo.
Speaking of, no one's dropped off any wings in a while. Hey there.
We're giving shout-outs to your boys at Mercado yesterday. Big shout-outs.
Nice.
So maybe you take me there for lunch for our Super Bowl event that is still outstanding.
All right.
Seahawks beat the Broncos.
We'll go there and you can have the calamari. That's it.
Just an appetizer?
That's it.
I looked up your career earnings on CapGeek. Do you want me to share that number publicly? Or
did you look up my career spendings?
No, I didn't look up your career tax bill either.
Betting habits?
No, I didn't.
Did you take that into account?
Did you
have
gambling habits? I knew you had some bad habits. I didn't know gambling was one.
They're all bad. All right, who do we like tonight?
What, in the basketball? Just kidding. Of course we're talking hockey. Three games tonight. Let us start in the East.
No, okay, stop there.
Yeah.
We'll go right back to that. I'm sick of that, too.
What?
Two days in between games.
For what?
Every other day play.
That's what they're doing.
It was only three games.
Well, the three of the four series tonight played two nights ago. One of them gets an extra day.
No,
that's Colorado, Minnesota.
I don't like it.
What was it like in 04?
Every other day.
The rhythm.
I got to have the rhythm.
On day, off day, yes. On day, off day.
Yes.
What was it like in
04? It's all over the map.
What was it like in 04?
I don't remember.
So it seems like you're whining as a couch jockey, not as a player about
this.
Well,
give me four games. First round of the NHL Stanley Cup playoff.
Give me some rhythm. It was pretty good until tonight. Pittsburgh at Columbus. Penguins lead this 2-1. The crowd was nuts. I don't know if you caught that game.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
I did.
You got to give them credit. That's a market that a lot of people who have never been there say, not going to work, not going to work, not going to work.
Oh.
Go try to tell that to someone who was there two
they
nights
love
ago.
Hockey. They
you might not know a lot.
Now, they got a little stale because the team sucked for so long.
They had won zero playoff games heading into their 14th season in the NHL this year. So don't tell me they wouldn't have tuned out in Vancouver or anywhere else you've got a team. Yeah. Outside of maybe Edmonton. They don't win.
So here's the funny thing. As bad as you feel like Pittsburgh's played, you almost pick them tonight, don't you? Like,
even if Columbus wins tonight, it's still 2-3 in Pittsburgh. They still have two of the top
do you
five
think
skaters
just
on Earth.
Tonight, Columbus can... Would you pick Columbus in this game? At home with that atmosphere?
It's a bit of a push to me, but I'll take Columbus, yeah.
Okay.
Because I think it's a long series.
Well, I'll bet you lunch at Mercado.
No, get off of that. This is not the Super Bowl, and it's... You were... I'd love to see Peyton Manning win one more. You were suckered in... By Manning in that offense.
I was.
You forgot the cardinal rule of Super Bowls.
Defense
wins championships. I don't know how you did that. You did.
I'm big D-ger.
The one.
All right. I'll go. Actually, I want to see Columbus win. So
this is a textbook rant. You have said Penguins, and now you've said Jackets. You have won the day. No matter what happens, you'll come in tomorrow and say, yep, I picked them.
Told you.
Right again. Warner's wisdom.
Yep.
Anaheim at Dallas tonight. Stars looked good. 3-0 they blank Anaheim in game three. They lost 2 1-goal games on the road. Can they square this off tonight? And boy, does that change the complexion of the series. This is a big game. Swing
they're going to saw it off. They're going to win. Yeah.
Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin.
Yep.
How good are those guys?
I think Lettinen's going to have a big night.
Yes.
They're going to win.
Very good.
No Robida out. I think that really...
Surrey out as well. Hasn't played all year as we...
Oh, poor Sheldon.
Boy, we were good at nailing that one down. St. Louis
Well, not
Chicago.
Even anyone on the text line knows what's wrong with
someone who said, he had an assist the other night. No, he hasn't played this season.
He hasn't laced him up.
St. Louis, Chicago. This is...
Ooh.
Boy. Because that building is so tough. We said it. It's kind of like Montreal. You just can't go in there and expect it's going to be normal. It is hostile. And frankly, Chicago hasn't done a lot of losing there in the last three years.
What's up with Backus?
Good question.
Is this guy going to be back in the lineup, or is he still got some time off? Because that's a big piece of the puzzle.
He did not play in Game 3. It was late to say he wouldn't play. You'd hope... Well, they have to be at least looking like they're going through all the protocols.
You're not going to risk.
But the question is, even if he is ready, you're not saying now that he's going in. You send him out in warm-up and let Chicago go, oh, that big ornery cuss is going to be in. Oh, boy, we're in for one here. Because don't think he's not going to be looking for Duncan Keith in a corner. Seabrook's out.
Wakey, wakey.
But Keith has been as greasy as any other in the playoffs this year. Maybe an exception to Matt Cook. This is a huge game.
I'm going St. Louis.
I think so, too. I've got the Blues in the series. And at the end of the day, Corey Crawford outshined Ryan Miller in Game 3. It's not going to happen often.
By a softy.
Sure. Well, yeah. But he was better than Miller. It's Miller's time to respond. Hang a zero. Might be tough to do in that building, but especially if they get Backus back and Miller has a good game. I think they're going back to St. Lou with a two-game lead. You're not going to backtrack and pick Chicago now? It'd be nice to have both sides covered.
Well, it's helpful when you do that, but I've been behind St. Louis all year. I got to stick with them.
All right. Good luck at your speaking event today with the undisclosed oil and gas company
I'll have a lot of brilliance.
Heavy oil investment in South Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
Owned by the father of an NHLer.
All I know is they better support my company if I'm supporting theirs.
I can't. It's an oil and gas company. It's not like they're selling like foolscap paper. How are you not charging? These guys are swimming in cash.
Well,
revenues of billions of dollars.
Why am I not?
You should be charging a fee. Warner's wisdom.
You think Marty McSorley shows up in this town for smiles and a nod?
I don't know. You saw him the other weekend.
For over 10 years, he bashed around opposing forwards in the National Hockey League. Now, he bashes around the English language.
The truth is in the pudding, as they say.
That play typified. Why?
What was that word?
Typified.
Tickle feather.
Lightning in a bucket.
Birds tweetering in the air. That what they do? They
chirp. Probably chirp or tweet.
Brett Warner is only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Well, until today. Now he's going to be speaking to a bunch of executives and, massacring the English language. Good luck with that, Rhett.
Thank you.
You have a wonderful hump day. We'll see you tomorrow. This is Boomer in the Morning, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.